Amen. Well, we serve a gracious God. Amen. The amazing grace of God. And that's what we're talking about today in Colossians chapter 4 as we finish the book of Colossians today. And in just a few moments, I want you to join me. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 18 in just a few moments. If you have your Bibles and you want to get a head start, you can turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 18 as we finish verse by verse through the book of Colossians. Before we get there, though, let me share, connect you with different ministry events we have going on here at Grace Point. So many of you, you're aware, but just to keep you connected more so with us as we head into the month of December, we have a lot of different opportunities and ministry events going on. So let me share a few with you. First of all, let me remind you about Coats for the Cold. So Coats for the Cold is next Saturday, December 4th, from 9 to 12. You can pick up these cards in the lobby, in the far corner of the lobby, information booth, if you'd like to pick some up and pass them out. We still have a few left. We have all the information on the front and the back about this ministry event. So here at Grace Point, next Saturday, December 4th, from 9 to 12. I shared with you that the vision, the goal this year was a step up for us to be able to give away 3,000 coats to people in the city of Denton who need a coat for the winter time. And we didn't have a lot when we started collecting the coats. So almost all of them came from you. And as of last, I think Wednesday, we have over 3,000 coats that you brought. Amen for that. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing those over 3,000 coats that you have brought as a church family for us to give away. So I'm looking very forward to next Saturday and the opportunity to give these coats away to people. So let me encourage you this week as we go forward. We have the coats now. We have to make sure we get the message out and communicate it. And just like I needed you for the coats, I need you to help me communicate the message that Grace Point Church, next Saturday, 9 to 12, giving away free coats, over 3,000 that we want to be able to give away. Now, I'm doing some things, the mail out, and I've reached out to homeless shelters and schools and things like that. But you can help us by spreading the word also. If you're on social media, tomorrow morning, we're doing a post for Coats for the Cold and written in a way just to let people know the vision and the goal of sharing the Coats 3,000 with Denton. You can share that and let others know through your social media platforms with as many people as possible. If there are other ways you can get the word out, please do so. I want to get as many of these coats. We want to give these away, hopefully over the 3,000. We'll be able to give those away next Saturday, but we need to get the message out. Casa Adobes, who's partnering with us, they're getting the word out also. So we're looking forward to next Saturday morning, Coats for the Cold, 9 to 12 here at Grace Point Church, and I'll be excited to kind of share with you about that ministry event next Sunday. Second, Flannel Fest. So Flannel Fest is a ministry event we're doing. We've done the last couple of years, didn't do last year because of COVID, but a couple years before that, it's really an opportunity for us to come together as a church family, to gather, to kind of kick off the Christmas season and to celebrate this time together, to celebrate Jesus, to come together, get our hearts and our minds set on Him and the right thing as we head into the Christmas season. Wednesday night, December 8th, 6 to 7:30. We'd love for you to come and be a part of it. Also, these cards are in the lobby. It's got all the information on the card, if you'd like to pick that up and have all that information, you go to our website also. It's there, gracepointdenton.com. If you're coming to this, though, we need to know that you're coming. So Flannel Fest, let me just tell you what we're going to be doing. We'll meet in here. We'll come in here together. We'll worship together. We'll sing Christmas songs in here together, led by our worship team. And then we'll go out through the lobby, and there'll be a big tent set up out there with Christmas lights, and we'll be decorating Christmas cookies, just family time together, Grace Point family and your family and friends. We all come together for that. There'll be a photo booth there. You can take pictures with family and friends. And then after we finish that part, then we'll wind up the evening by going out to the Grace Point Christmas tree, which has been planted a couple weeks ago, right between the two buildings, the youth and the preschool children's building. And we'll sing some songs together, and then we'll have the first ever Grace Point Christmas tree lighting. So I hope you'll make plans. I hope it's a tradition for you to come as a family, to join your church family, and come with us and join us on Wednesday, December 8th for Flannel Fest. Great time together as a church family. We need you to sign up, though. There are a lot of moving parts to this. Make sure we have space and everything available for everyone. So if you have not signed up, let me encourage you to do so. Sign up as you leave today. To the left, there's a table. You can sign up there. Or GP Sign Up, gpsignup.com. click on the Flannel Fest banner. It'll take you to a place to sign up. If you're coming, let me encourage you to do that today. That'll give us just more lead time to make sure everything's prepared. We have plenty of space and room for everybody to be a part of that. So I'm looking forward to Flannel Fest. A great family, church family time together. December the 8th, so sign up today. And then our Christmas series will start next week, December 5th. Hard to believe we're in December. It's December 5th next week. Hope has a name. Each Sunday I'll be taking a name of Jesus. Teaching from the Bible about that name of Jesus. Tie that into the Christmas story. In addition, each Sunday I'll be having different Grace Point families share testimony really related to that particular name of Jesus. Just an encouraging testimony to hear from our church family. I always love hearing how God's working in people's lives. So that'll be a part of the series starting next Sunday morning, all three services, then Christmas Eve, 3:30 and 5 o'clock. I'll remind you of that as we get closer. All right, and then last but not least, Christmas hope. So you're picking up on the theme. If you're a member here, you have for a while. Hope is a big deal to us around here at Grace Point. Okay, I blame Jesus for that. So Christmas hope, this is a ministry we started a few years ago. And the ministry focus is to help families financially who are going through a difficult season and to be able to help them during the Christmas season. And we've done this the last few years, and you've given to this financially, and we've been able to give that away to others who are going through difficult times. Great testimonies of grace. We're talking about grace today, of hope and encouragement to countless families. It's a big ministry of Grace Point. I'm so thankful for your hearts in giving to this and us giving away. I have a group of people, a team of people around me that we have a vetting process and a process to go through, just accountability to make sure it's done right. And it's been effective the last few years. We're going to continue to use that same process. So let me just tell you, make a couple of comments about that, and then we'll jump into the message. So this Christmas Hope Ministry, again, helping families financially during the Christmas season, families that are going through a difficult time. So the way this works is you will go to our website if you want to. Let's say you want to nominate a family. You go to our website, gracepointdenton.com. You can go there, and on the top right corner, it says Christmas Hope. You can click on that, and it'll take you to this page that has this banner on it, this design on it. Or you can go gracepointdenton.com/Christmas Hope, takes you to that same page. And once you go to that page, you're going to have the opportunity to fill out a form on there. The first, at the top, it's going to say your name, and at the bottom there, it's going to say the family you are recommending or asking us to help. So your information, and then it'll be the family that needs help, and we're going to ask you to tell their story, okay? And then we will take that information. I'll meet with this group of people probably soon so we can get it to these people before Christmas, 4/25. So we take that information as we've done the last few years, and we look through that as a team, as a group, and kind of vet through that, and then from there we disperse the funds to them. We do keep it in confidence. So if you recommend a family, we keep that. You can tell them if you want, but we keep that confidential. We just say it's from Christmas Hope at Grace Point Church, and we want to bless you during this time of the year. And it's just been an amazing experience. So. Now, let me say this. You may be watching or here, and I want to be clear. Maybe you are a family that needs some encouragement, some hope, some help this year. There's a place there. Again, you can fill out for your family, and then you just send that. Those come straight to my email. Nobody else sees those except there are those four people that help me go through just for accountability and handling funds and processing that and then dispersing those. See that, but everything's kept in confidence. But I want our church family to know, too. Certainly recommend others, but maybe you need some encouragement and you need some help this year. Well, that's why we're here. So you can go online and also fill that out, and we can help you. Last, if you want to give to this, and you do every year, and so many of you, thank you for that. If you want to give to this ministry, you can either write a check, put it in an envelope, and write Christmas Hope on there. So that way it's designated. Make sure to get to this account. We have a separate account called Christmas Hope. Every penny you give goes to that account and goes directly to people. Or you can go online. You give online and just go to the bottom of the screen, and you're going to see a place where you can designate that it's for Christmas Hope. So then when it comes through, we'll make sure to get it in the right place and designate that to Christmas Hope and get that to people who need a helping hand, need some encouragement this time of year at Christmas. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving you that. I'm excited about what God's going to do again this year as he's done in the past year in helping people. Okay, all right, that kind of catches us up on everything we've got going here at Grace Point. I want to finish what we started 2 years ago. How about that? We're finishing the book of Colossians. If you're a guest today, we've gone verse by verse by verse, and we've finally gotten to the very end. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Here's what's going to happen. You saw the video, Amazing Grace. I want to show you that Paul finishes this letter the same way he started it, with grace. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the grace of God to you and with you. So Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, as he finishes, Paul says this. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. That's how he finishes. The last sentence, grace be with you. Now, if we would go, I'll go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. As he began the letter to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, I've said this before, but let me just remind you. So, Colossians 1, 2, grace to you. Colossians 4, 18, grace be with you. So grace to you, he's saying you are about to read a word from God. And as you read through Colossians, you will experience and see and know the grace of God through the book of Colossians. It will be grace to you. And then as you finish and close that Bible, that letter, he's saying, I want the grace to be with you as you go. And so I want you to see today through our time, I won't get through the whole thing, but and I did in the first service, but the thing I'm hoping you'll grab a hold of is certainly grace unto salvation, which we're going to talk about, but then grace into your life, into your daily life. The word grace is used 131 times in the ESV, English Standard Version. That's the Bible I preach from. 131 times we have the use of the word grace. 124 in the New Testament. 86 of those times are from the Apostle Paul, which means 2/3 of all the uses of the word grace in the Bible are from one author, and that is Paul. We see the grace of God all throughout the Bible. Old Testament and New Testament. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. Our God is merciful and gracious. Now, from there, from that point, the rest of this verse, you see the grace and mercy of God. Okay, so our God is merciful and gracious. Now, here it is manifest. This is how it's seen in day-to-day. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Okay, so those are all examples of grace to us, with us, into our lives. This grace is distinct to the Christian faith. No other religion emphasizes divine grace the way the Bible does, the way we do as Christ followers. So let's define it then. We talk about it a lot, but let's be clear. Kind of a common definition. It's accurate, though, that you've probably heard. We talk about grace. Grace is undeserved favor. And in this context, undeserved favor from God, as we're talking about today. So grace is undeserved favor. Now, let me say this. There is a difference between grace and mercy. Both are needed. We see both in Exodus. We see both throughout the scriptures. Grace and mercy. We're talking about grace today. But grace is when God gives us what we do not deserve. That is the grace of God. When God gives us what we do not deserve, and we're going to focus on that today. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Mercy and grace. Let me give you an example of grace. So when I was 8, I have a twin brother. When I was 8, my dad, one of the things my dad did is he bought a fishing boat. That's where I really started to love fishing. And he would take us fishing on the weekends, on Saturdays. And so this particular week, at the first of the week, he told us that we were going to go fishing on Saturday. So we were excited about it. We were looking forward to that. In addition to that, he said that there were a list of things that we needed to do. Chores, responsibilities that we needed to do before Friday. So we could then go fishing on Saturday and not have to do those chores on weekend. And so, you know, the week comes and the week goes and the week kind of gets away from you, you know. And so Friday comes and Friday night after supper, so he calls in the living room and he kind of just asks us basically how the week has been. And we're talking, I've been busy. I've had so much going on. And you know, I'm 8, remind you. It's been a busy week, man. Pressure on me. I have all kinds of stuff happening. So he then asks a question that he already knows the answer to. And this is what parents do, right? So he says, okay, boys, let me ask you this. Did you get the chores done? And I said, oh, it's been a week, man. I've had so much to do. And I said, no, sir, we didn't get the chores done. And I looked at my twin brother and I said, mostly his fault. We didn't get them done. And it was too late to do them now. So he said, rightly so, since you didn't take care of your responsibilities, we won't go fishing tomorrow. Now, to an 8-year-old, that's kind of a big deal. Like, I was practicing casting all week. That's what I do with my time. And so, you know, it just, you know, you can imagine it kind of hits you like, oh, man, I can't believe that. You know, and it was discouraging, and, you know, the rest of that night was bad, and then we went to bed, and knowing the next day we're going to get up and do chores probably all day because of my twin brother again. He led us down the wrong path. And my brother and I shared a room growing up. And so, 5:00, the light comes on. And, you know, we kind of sit up and look, and there's my dad standing in the door, dressed and ready to go. He said, let's go fishing, boys. Let's go fishing. Now, that was grace. We disobeyed and did not do what my father told us to do. He was right to say, therefore, you don't go fishing. Yet he gave grace and took a fishing on that day. That's grace, giving us what we don't deserve. Now, I want to bring it into context now. That didn't happen all the time. And I'm not saying you need to give grace to your kids every time they get in trouble. Pastor Dave said we should never. That's not a. There's many other times it didn't go that way. So, but there's truth and grace. Truth and grace. So let me be clear about that, right? But you know what I've learned, especially in parenting, and you know, doesn't God teach us a lot through parenting? Oh my goodness, in a good way. I mean, but. What I've learned, first and foremost, through the scriptures, and what I see is God's grace in the scriptures and then how it plays out in my life and with my kids, especially when they were younger. That as parents, we want to be in tune with this because I do believe, and I've got examples, but I'm not going to share them all because we need to move on. But there are times, I know, where God does say, you know, I know what they deserve. But show them grace this time. And I think it's important in your faith that you know when those times are. Again, I'm not saying all the time, but I will tell you this. I was 8 years old when my dad did that. And I'm talking about it today. I mean, I was 8 then, and now I'm, what, 31? So there's like, I mean, all those years later. No, I'm not. Actually, I will be 60 next summer, just for the record. How about, can you believe that? It tires me just to think about that, too. It takes my breath away. Whew, maybe Jesus will come back before then. So, but I still remember that all these years later. Because grace is so, it's so radical. And so this morning, over these next few moments, I want to teach this and look at this grace in two dimensions, primarily the second. Certainly the first is most important, but in two dimensions with grace. And there's a lot more to this than, you know, the next 20 minutes can give, certainly. But the two dimensions I want to look at is, number one, first and foremost, is unto salvation. So grace unto salvation. And then the second one, which I'm going to step down a little harder, is grace into your life. So grace unto salvation, which is first and foremost. But then the second thing, which I think we miss a lot, is the grace of God into our lives every second of every day. Living in the grace of God. One writer says it this way: grace in the New Testament is not only God's doing good to us when we don't deserve it, but it's more than that. The grace of God is not just God doing good to the undeserving. It is that, but grace is also power. Grace is power. Grace moves in and enables us to do the thing that God has called us to do. So that's living in the grace of God. Now we'll talk about what that looks like more specifically in some different ways in just a moment. But I want to give you, let's start with the first takeaway. This is the most important. Foundationally, this is what we teach here at Grace Point. We're keeping the main thing, and he is Jesus. So takeaway number one, grace saves. That's the most important. Unto salvation. First and foremost, grace saves. This is the gospel. This is what we are all about. The saving grace of God. Romans 3:24, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen to that? Amen? By grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We spend eternity in heaven because of the grace of God when we repent from our sins and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior. We surrender our life to Christ. That is grace, not a result of works that no one may boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So first and foremost, the gospel message, grace saves. Grace is what saves. We never want to get away from that. That's foundational. That's the gospel message. And we always remember that the saving grace of God, number one. Now, from that, now I want to move more to how does that grace then, as believers in Christ, after we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, how then does that play out into our lives, into our everyday life, the here and now? That's what I want to talk about these next couple takeaways. Takeaway number two, grace empowers. The grace of God empowers you to do the things God calls you to live, the life that God's called you to do, the things he calls us to do in the scriptures that are so hard to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Listen to this. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Now that happens because of grace. You may abound in every good work. So that is the grace of God into you, right? As you live out your life. So it's this text and others. Grace is not only God to us unto salvation, but it's a power or an acting of God that works within you. So when we talk about living in the grace of God, certainly it's under salvation, but then it's you live in the grace of God, you're experiencing the grace of God every single day of your life. So I think part of the challenge is we need to kind of open our eyes to see that around us. Yes, it's undeserved favor, no question about that. But it also, this grace overflows in a very powerful, practical help from God in our daily lives. So let me give you a few examples of what that looks like. And this is limited, right? We can play this out all afternoon. We see the grace of God. This kind of primes the pump, gives you an idea, and you can even take it from here. So let me give you an example. So for example, God's grace empowers us to serve Him. God's grace empowers us to serve. And specifically serving God, right? We serve God through serving other people, but God's grace does that. So here's what I want you to think of it this way, that every opportunity you have to serve and serve others, you have the opportunity to experience the grace of God in your life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. This is where I get it from. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So that's another point I'm not even going to have time to make, but when you serve others, the manifestation of God's grace in you is you use the gifts that God's given you. Verse 11, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, and here's the key thing, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So that is the grace he's speaking of. So as you serve by the strength that God supplies. God will supply you that grace when you get in that situation and begin serving. And you experience his grace. I experience the grace of God numerous times every day. On Sunday, I experience it for sure 3 times every single Sunday. When I stand to preach, it's the grace of God empowering me to do what he's called me to do. It's far beyond my limited resources and my limited mind and my own efforts. It's the grace of God to me. It empowers me to serve him through, 1 Peter 4, through the gift of teaching. And for you, as you serve, whether you're serving preschool children, whether you're serving in students or greeting, or whether you're coming to serve at Coats for the Cold, I want you to understand something. It's more than just Coats that's going on. Certainly it is. Practical ways, it's Coats. But it's also based on this scripture, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, it's you also seeing the grace of God through the strength of God manifested in you as you come and you serve. Those of you who are coming to serve. And some, I'm going to talk to some, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I don't know what to think about, I've never done this, but they're stepping. And as they do, God gives, by his grace, he gives them the strength to serve others. Now look, so if we choose not to then serve, then I would argue we're missing out on an opportunity to experience the grace of God. And to see him empower me to do the things that I might be a little uncomfortable with at times. Yeah, that can be in a number of different ways, not just in context of local church. It can be in other ways too, as you're living out your faith. So grace, God's grace empowers us to serve. That's why when God puts on your heart to go serve in some way, whether it's teaching over here, whether it's greeting or whatever it may be, maybe it's a ministry event or to go serve your neighbor in some way, and you start to get anxious about that, and you think, well, I could never teach that class. I could never teach those kids. I could never do this. Listen, that's exactly where you want to be, because that's when God's grace is manifested in your life. And then when he empowers you to do it, and you get on the other side of it, you look back and go, man, I want to do that again. That's what you'll say. Because you've experienced the grace of God in your life. That's the part, grace be with you, Paul is saying. Number two, grace empowers us to work hard. I think we're called, I've talked about this before, we're called to set the pace, I believe, in the workforce and as we're doing our jobs. We're called to set the pace. We're called to work hard. We'll be the hardest working people in the office and in the workplace. That's by grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. This is Paul talking. I worked harder than anybody. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So even that discipline to work hard is grace. The grace of God. So grace is the key that empowers us to do that work. Now, let me say this, and I'll move on to the next one. You will never have the grace of God to do anything outside the will of God. You will never have the grace of God to do anything outside the will of God. If you move outside of the will of God and, you know, the word of God, right, then you won't have the grace of God there. That's contrary to the word of God when we're going outside the will, the way or the will of God. So, but when we're inside the will of God and we're walking as God wants us to, then we experience his grace. Let me move on for time's sake. God's grace empowers us to speak words that encourage. God's grace empowers us to speak words that build up, encourage. Colossians 4, we'll go up a few verses. Colossians 4, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And I preach on this before. Let me just remind you. So here's how I want you to see how this flows. So for you then to speak words that are gracious, especially in hard times when you've been hurt or you're angry, you and I, we are able to do Colossians 4:6, always be gracious, key word always, be gracious. The only way we do that is through the grace of God. So the grace of God with you, the grace of God into you, that empowers you to actually speak gracious words to somebody, especially when you've been hurt, especially when you're justified in not being gracious to them. But here it says, I mean, it's hard to argue, let your speech always be gracious. And so the way we can do that is by the grace of God. Right? So if we're not leaning into the grace of God to us and into us, we're not going to be able to experience the grace of God with us to be able to speak these words of grace, especially when we've been hurt or when we don't want to give them grace. But oh my goodness, how powerful is it when we can speak those words of grace? It's so radical when it's so unexpected because they're expecting just the opposite. So share words of grace today. Listen, if you get nothing else, I'm telling you, when you walk out these doors, your day can be different if you will choose to speak words of grace to people around you. We talked a little bit about this with spiritual leadership in the home with our men's Act Like Men group. There's great power in our words. Let me give you the last one. God's grace empowers us to forgive when we've been hurt. God's grace, again, now that's... It's 10:28, so that's a tough one to say that and say we got to move on, because when it comes to we've been hurt, it's hard to forgive when we have been hurt, and some just run so deep. But again, the grace of God empowers you to forgive others when you've been hurt, those who've hurt us. But again, I did this for so many years until I really understood the scriptures better. If you're waiting, so what happens is we wait for the moment when we feel like we have enough in us to forgive. Now, I'm not saying, again, this is hard to take on in like 3 minutes or less, but I'm not saying there aren't times when the hurt is so deep that you need some time, you know, before you just genuinely speak words of forgiveness. I get that. I understand that. I think that's okay. Right, but we can't also just put it off forever. But my point is that to get to that place, you need to understand it's not an issue of you feeling and being ready to do that in your own strength. It's the grace of God into you and the grace of God with you that allows you to forgive. And it's radical grace, isn't it, when somebody's hurt you? And they don't deserve your forgiveness. This is the grace. This is what grace is about. So what's our motivation for that? We go back to the cross and the gospel, right? So when God has forgiven us for our sins against him, that was undeserved. that forgiveness. We don't deserve that. But he gave that grace. So gospel-centered means I too will pray that God will get me to that place where I will understand his grace and be able to give grace to others through forgiveness. Okay, let me give you these last couple and then we'll pray together. I don't have time to teach them. Takeaway three is grace gives. That's another big one. So we have the grace of God. We walk in the grace of God, then we give. Takeaway number four, the last one, is grace sustains us. So especially in difficult times, it's the grace of God that sustains us. I want to finish with Isaiah 43. I'm jumping around a lot here, but Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, says this, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you." So that's grace. Right? Now you're going to see, now watch this. You're going to see grace manifested in God's provision. Watch this. "I've called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Okay, there's grace right there. And I think as they read this, and I think even for us too, they're recalling, and the implication is implied is, remember the Israelites walking through the Red Sea. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you." I think that's the Israelites walking through the Red Sea, God drying up the land. "And through the rivers," I think that's the Israelites crossing into the Jordan drying up, and they walked in the promised land. We talked about that. "They shall not overwhelm you." So I'll be with you in the waters. The rivers will not overwhelm you. "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." I think that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "And the flame shall not consume you." Okay, so there's grace in God's provision in those difficult times. "For I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Three things from that. Three things. Then I'm just going to give you just the statements of these, not on your outline. Number one, even in grace, God will at times call you into deep waters and fiery trials. He's still gracious when that happens. Look for his grace. We see it in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. "I'll be with you. You will not get burned." All this provision. It's the grace of God. But there will be times, there will be times when God calls you into deep waters and fiery trials. Number two, God's with you, bringing good from the waters and the fire. Many times, I think most of you would agree with him, many times the most defining moments come through these times of deep waters and fiery trials. And then last, in the context of hard times and deep waters and fiery trials, God changes us, shapes us to become Christ-like, more like him. That's the end game, people. That's the end game. That's what God desires. Romans 8:29 talks about that we're conformed to the image of Christ. That is what God is doing in the midst of your trial and difficulty right now. I'll read this devotional and then I'll pray for you, and we'll just continue to ask God to teach us even more about grace, because it's so powerful and there's so much there. But this is from a devotional. I read, he says this, is Adam and Eve had it all. They were perfect people living in a perfect world, enjoying a perfect relationship with God. There was no tension between them. There was no separation between them and God. There was no pollution or disease, no injustice or corruption, no hatred or violence. They lived in a world that was in a constant state of shalom. Shalom means more than peace. It refers to things being in the state that God intended them to be in. In other words, shalom is the way things were meant to be. It was the world as we have never experienced it, untainted and unharmed. Life for Adam and Eve was complete in every single way. But it wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. So they stepped over the one boundary God set for them. They ate the fruit that God had forbidden. It was a self-centered rebellion. It was a quest for autonomy, revealing a desire for self-rule. It was evil and ugly. God had every right to judge them, and he did. But shockingly, that judgment would not be the end of the story. If the story of Adam and Eve were a movie, we would expect God's judgment, the removal from the garden, and then fade to black. But the God writing the script is a God of glorious grace. Grace leads the biblical story in a very different direction than we would anticipate. God announced immediately after rebellion of Adam and Eve that he was going not only going to judge sin, he was going to defeat it forever. Genesis 3:15. On the cross, Jesus was bruised, but the enemy was defeated forever. Yes, Jesus died, but the grave could not hold him. And with resurrection power, he now reigns until the final enemy is under his feet. It is a story of astounding mercy granted to rebels, of amazing grace bestowed upon people. It is a radical, unexpected story of grace. Hope and help for every sinner. And it's a story, he says, that gets me up in the morning. And I hope it does the same for you, the amazing grace of God. Let's stand together. Let's stand and pray. Father, I pray that just the blessing of grace pours over us, that even as we leave today, it truly is your grace be with us in new, radical, clear, God-ordained ways. Help us to see better your grace to us, with us. I pray for that, God, that we can see better. And that we will never move away from grace unto us and salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for eternity in heaven because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. We are grateful. So we sing now and worship you. Thankful for your amazing grace in us, to us, and with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.